Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rising Feather by Mary Bright. Narrated by Reagan West and Gabriel De Leon. Chapter 1. Feather.
What is your name?
The question woke me, thundering out of the vast, infinitely cold, and utterly empty space where I floated. I knew who I was. The last thing I remembered was following a blue thread of light through a narrow opening of the Great Gate in Sanctuary, singing my name as clearly as I could. Hanul, the uncomfortably hot celestial messenger who'd arrived in Sanctuary and whisked me away just as quickly, had been right behind me, laughing her head off. I felt my t-shirt vaporize, leaving me bare-assed to the void, and to the Great Gate, which was concerning, since I'd been warned that gate was a total lech. And I'd been thinking about what Hanul had said. Not to talk to anyone about anything, just to follow my mates, my best birch Sunny, and my glitter baby to paradise. And to keep singing, no matter what. But I wasn't singing now. I'd fallen asleep, or been knocked out. Something had made me stop. Everything hurt. My whole being felt as if it was diminishing, like I was a ball of string being quickly unwound. Was I stuck in the void? Was I being unmade? And if I was, would Rumpel, my first love, the one who had protected me forever, be here to put me back together again? What is your name? The voice hammered into me again, leaving me breathless, and my chest seared with a strange new flavor of agony, which distracted me for a moment. I'd known a whole lot of pain in my existence, everything from stubbed toes to broken bones, to torture with thumb screws during one short but memorable life in Spain in the late 1600s. I'd been trying to keep a priest from spending the church's offerings for the poor on his personal supply of opium. Of course, I hadn't expected the thieving priest I was harassing to have enough clout to bring real inquisitors into the game. But no one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Sing your name, quickly, before you are unmade!
The unfamiliar, masculine voice was bordering on panicky now. And I realized it wasn't the source of the pain. That was my chest, or more precisely, my birthmark, the feather-shaped patch that had been there since I was first born on Earth over 400 years before. It boiled like a small lake of lava, or superheated acid, seeping through me and into my chest cavity. Maybe if I sang my name, the pain would end. I opened my mouth, sighing in relief to feel I had lips, I hadn't been unmade entirely at least, not like before, and began to sing. My name is Feather, the beautiful sacrifice, beloved of Mikhail the Great-Souled, maker of sanctuary. Best friend to Sunny, the light of truth, ride or die birch. Treasured little one of Seraphiel, known as Rumpel, my teacher and first love. Secret crush of righteous arm of justice, head protector of sanctuary, who shall henceforth be known as Anaconda Pants, and chief antagonist and adored nemesis of Gavriel the Grumpy Lightbearer, leader of sanctuary. The space around me ballooned with a peculiar silence. Then the voice murmured, sounding faintly amused.
That's a really awful name.
Thanks, I made it myself, I snarked back. Honestly, some void creatures don't have any manners at all. The voice obviously heard that thought, because the space around me shuddered with soundless laughter.
It's not your whole name, Feather, the beautiful sacrifice. Quit stalling, finish your song.
I blinked. Or, at least, I tried to. It was still dark. Was I being tortured again?
No matter what this guy thought, I wasn't torturing myself for fun. Though I knew that was a thing. People on Earth paid hundreds of dollars to get trapped in sensory deprivation water tanks. Something they used to do in Siberia for nothing more than the price of an honest opinion. "That's all the name I know," I said. Though some part of me twisted like a 3-year-old caught lying about cutting her own hair. Impatience and urgency rippled through the darkness.
"There's no time to be coy, not here."
"Where's here? The gate to the celestial realm?" I crossed my imaginary fingers.
"No, I'm a different gate."
The space pressed in on me and whispered a soft apology before it tore through my mind, delving into my thoughts, my memories, looking for something. I'd had my thoughts rifled through before. That had been unpleasant. This was excruciating. But it still didn't hurt as much as my birthmark.
"Oh, small one, I understand now. Perhaps I could pull you back, but you're tethered on both sides. Getting you through could prove problematic, beautiful sacrifice."
"What do you mean? Why do you say that?" I didn't ask who the voice was, though I had some suspicions. I thought of the name of the Great Gate, the one Hanul and Rumpel had both mentioned. "Revel?" The space around me pulsed with a sense of longing, but the voice didn't confirm my suspicion.
"Your mates and family wait for you at the threshold to the celestial realm, but you can't join them. Not until you know your full name."
"What the fudge? I know my name! I named myself in the abyss when Rumpel, when Seraphiel remade me. I sang the whole thing to you. Now let me go. I need my growly bear, Rye, Sunny, and Precious. I had a whole family now, and I wasn't going to let some perverted gate keep me from the big reunion in the sky. I needed them." The space around me pressed close.
"And you shall have them."
He hesitated.
"When you pass into the celestial realm, tell my family I miss them. Tell Mother." I knew who he meant, and the pain in his voice made my own heart ache. Before I could answer, he spoke again.
"Sing after me. Sing your entire name."
And then the voice sang my name back to me, but added a few more words. Those words hurt worse than anything the Inquisitors had done to me. Worse than the centuries of violence and brutality, and all the deaths I suffered at the ends of my short lives. Worse than the months in Sanctuary where I was hated, scorned, and tormented, and the ages in the Abyss when I was unraveled from myself. Those last few words taught me who I was, and they broke me. Revel vanished as I sang what was, indeed, a terrible name. The blue thread appeared again, but I was too weak, too heart-sore to follow it. And maybe a little bit too pissed off. My voice faltered. Then, when the last note I could bear to voice was still ringing in the space around me, a new presence appeared, like a bursting star. I felt a cleansing fire sear me, refining me, healing me, though the blessed flames never touched the wound that I now carried in my heart. She spoke, 3 words filled with eternal compassion.
"Oh, my daughter."
I slept on the invisible shoulder of the one who could only be my mother, as she carried me the rest of the way across the void, and wished with all my heart that I hadn't learned the rest of my fudging name. Because even if I wasn't only the chief antagonist and adored nemesis of Gavriel Lightbearer, but also
His forgotten soulmate? There was still no way to get back to the basshole now. No way for me to heal and be whole. Ever again. I fell into unconsciousness. My soul, inconsolable. Mourning what had never been. And now, would never be. Chapter 2. Feather.
Sweet soul, wake up.
The low, growling voice reverberated through my body. But I kept my eyelids as tightly shut as possible. The last time I'd woken, Shiz had gone down. There had been pain, and even more painful revelations. Nope. I was going to stay asleep, thank you very much, and hope that what I'd learned about myself was a nightmare. Anyway, I'd been dreaming that I was the sole photographer for an Australian firefighter calendar, and I'd just instructed the big boys to get naked and oil up with a giant tub of melted butter next to a barbecue grill for the summer sausage spread.
I'll get naked and rub butter on myself if you'll open your eyes, Scrap.
Another voice said, as something long, hard, and probably not an actual summer sausage bumped me on the thigh. I sat up, blinking. Righteous? He kissed the tip of my nose and pushed his dark hair away from his face. Holy hand grenades. You look amazing. I breathed. He was golden and glowing. His skin literally shimmering with hidden fire. His eyes were a brighter gold than ever, his wings blindingly white, and his body. Rye, you're naked. I took a long moment to make sure he was, indeed, fully naked. Yes, every single finely honed inch of him was 100% buck nakedly exposed. I licked my lips. So thirsty, I almost couldn't stand it. I'd only had time to explore the full glory of a nude righteous twice. An error my sausage wallet was about to rectify.
Sausage wallet? Did she just...
Laughter rang out all around me and I twisted my head. Mikhail had me in his arms, and he was also gloriously bare and equally shiny. His scars stood out all over his deep bronze skin, like silver hieroglyphs my fingers itched to trace. He stared down at me, his turquoise and black eyes dancing.
You should know, sweet soul, your thoughts are as clear as speech, not just to your mates, but to the celestial inhabitants. My fingers also itch to trace your beauty.
He leaned over and gave me a long, thorough tonsil inspection, then lifted his head and propped me up on my feet. I felt woozy and incomplete, but the pain from before was muted. Less searing agony and more lethargy. I had enough energy to take in my surroundings, though. The world around me was all in shades of white, but tinted with blues and pinks and yellows, like watercolors on clouds. There was some crazy light flickering everywhere, making prisms on the fluffy surfaces, almost like a laser light show. A glowing face with dancing brown eyes and a curtain of straight dark hair leaned close to mine.
Feather, the beautiful sacrifice. Welcome to the Lyman.
When she said the word, a thousand others echoed in it. Antechamber, vestibule, atrium, couloir, passageway, sacred space, waiting room, threshold. Hanul? The last time I'd seen her, we'd been in... My mind shut down, not only because it was too painful to think about where I'd seen her and who we'd been with. My birthmark throbbed like a birch when I even pictured his face. But also, she was stupidly, ridiculously,
unfairly hot when she was unclothed. My eyes dropped to my own insignificant boobs and scrawny limbs. There went my hope of becoming miraculously sexy in heaven, or the celestial realm. Same thing. A soft hand under my chin lifted my gaze to meet hers, and Hanul shook her head gently.
When I behold you, I see a miracle. Your soul fire is phenomenal. Feather, you can't see it yourself, but you're the one making the light show. You're the brightest soul I've ever beheld outside of the celestial realm. You rival the first children.
Scanning the area, I realized it was my body that was reflecting the tiny prisms of brilliance all around us. I remembered the cleansing fire and knew exactly who had taken all the external smut away. Whoa, I breathed. I'm shiny.
You are love.
Growly picked me up again, cradling me to his warm chest. Righteous moved next to him and laid a hand on my arm. Suddenly, some of the pain I'd been ignoring was snuffed out. It was manageable now. I shuddered with relief, then thought about who else was missing. Where are Sunny and Precious? My heart skipped as Mikhail and Rai shared a glance. They didn't get lost in the void? We'd all crossed over one at a time, but not all of us were here now. Had Precious gotten lost in the void?
She's fine, love,
Mikhail said.
Sunny caught her right inside the Great Gate and held her all the way here.
I wanted to relax, but there was something they were hiding from me. Then where are they? They weren't hurt coming through, were they?
They're both fine, Hanul interrupted, her voice as full of music as ever.
And truth.
Every being who approaches the Celestial Gate does so alone. We made an exception for Precious and Sunny, as they are bound by Sunny's vow, and Precious is a child. This realm has never had an angelic child enter its Celestial Gate.
Amusement and concern warred in her gaze. I nodded, slightly less concerned. And us three? I nodded to Rai and squirmed against Growly's massive, warm chest. We go in together?
Not normally.
Her brow creased in a slight frown.
You were cleansed of all the external smut from your adventures in Sanctuary, between stepping through the Sanctuary Gate and your travels through the Void. But you were unusually tired. We decided to give you a little time here to rest so you could fully experience the next spiritual crossing.
Oh, that's good, I said, confused. I was still well past exhausted. Where were we? I don't want to sleep through the spiritual parts.
Indeed,
she replied in that soothing, melodic voice. At the same moment, I heard Righteous think.
I thought you were into spiritual somnophilia, Scrab. I seem to remember you liking it more than a good girl should.
I'll show you a good girl. I narrowed my eyes at him and thought of myself as a naughty librarian, tapping a doeskin flogger on one hand while Rai sat at a tiny desk, dressed in a schoolgirl uniform, wings folded behind him, waiting for his punishment. Hanul muffled a laugh, and Rai's cheeks colored. Growly muttered,
Every thought, sweet mate. Save that one for later, though. It has possibilities.
Rai went into a coughing fit while Hanul rolled her eyes. I shook my head, then gasped, lifting my hands to my hair. My clit horns are gone. Did someone cut them off?
More laughter. No, Scrap. They dissolved with the rest of the smut.
A feminine voice echoed faintly in my mind.
It's a good thing, too. If they'd stayed there through her passage, they might not have been removable.
and she would never be allowed inside. I kept my face still. I was pretty sure Hanul hadn't meant for me to hear that. I was pretty certain my mates hadn't picked up on it since they didn't react at all. What happened to Precious? She was a novice, but also sort of a shadow demon, and her horns were definitely not removable. I squinted at Hanul, but Growly answered.
She's fine. I watched as they led her inside. As is.
The glint in his eyes told me he might have had something to do with her being allowed into the celestial realm, horns and all. Hanul shifted uncomfortably.
It wasn't quite that smooth of an entrance, but no matter, as I was saying. You appeared here externally purified, Feather, but you still have some smut inside you.
At that, Righteous, Mikhail, and I all had the same dirty thought, and the clouds around us shook, but not with laughter. Impatience? Hanul faced the clouds and hissed.
I'm trying. Hold on for a moment, Sabriel. Honestly, you'd think you were the newest celestial.
Is that what we are? We're not called High and Jelly anymore? I whispered to Mikhail.
Both titles work, he whispered back. Not that they matter. We're done with all that.
Done with jockeying for advancement and worrying about hierarchy? Fudging, hallelujah! I peered around. This isn't the celestial realm, though.
Why not? Not fancy enough?
Rai teased, turning in a circle to gesture to the very fluffy cloud walls and... cloud sofas? We were in some sort of lobby. He stepped back, hands on hips.
What did you expect? Streets of gold?
I tried not to let myself look at his bobbing anaconda for more than a moment. It was waving at me, though, so it was hard to focus on talking. I waved back discreetly and mouthed the word, later.
Puppies, I blurted out as Mikhail growled impatiently. Hanul promised.
She hummed in agreement.
That I did. Now, you do have to enter alone. Our gate has been adjusted since Sunny and Precious went through. Once again, it will only admit one soul at a time. Normally, it doesn't hurt at all. In fact, it's an exquisitely joyful moment. But without your mates, you might...
She chewed at her lip.
You're going to feel it.
I get it. It doesn't hurt as much when they're touching me, but it will when I go through the gate. She nodded. It won't hurt them to be away from me? She smiled tightly.
They'll survive. It's you I'm worried about.
All right. Then let them go first. Mikhail started to protest, but I finished. It'll give me even more reason to get through. As if my words had activated it, a huge door appeared in the side of one of the clouds. A fire door, with a bar handle, like elementary schools had.
That's your gate? I scoffed. Not sexy at all.
Not like Revel. Rai leaned in and kissed me hard.
You're such a deviant, he murmured. Gates, Feather? Really?
Hanul was laughing as she pushed him through the door gate. I patted Growly's chest as he put me down. He kept one hand on me until the very end, and then, with a snarl that told me exactly how he felt about leaving me behind, he slammed through the door.
The throbbing discomfort in my chest became debilitating in less than a breath, and I dropped to one knee. Hanul was there immediately. Can you walk, Feather?
I held up one finger, unable to speak. Her voice was calm, but a thread of panic was buried in her tone.
You understand why there's so much pain?
The breath I took to answer felt like razors inside my lungs. But her expression was worth it. Gavriel, the goat fudger, leader of Loserville, soulmate of Suck, goddess, has a mean streak. I began to fall sideways. Hanul sang in High Angelic as she scooped me up and carried me the rest of the way to the gate. I felt a pulse of sadness, a sense of farewell. Wait, I rasped. What's wrong? Wasn't she going through after me? She smiled tightly.
Oh, nothing. It's just, I've always been a bit of an explorer at heart. I enjoyed my trip outside the celestial realm. Becoming a celestial messenger was the only way I could ever leave and return, though. So I jumped at the chance.
You can only enter this gate once. Something about that bothered me.
Yes. Messengers are given an extra share of celestial soul fire that works as a sort of key, activated by the gate itself as I re-enter.
She pressed a hand to her abdomen.
It's heavy to carry, but it's the only way the gate will recognize me and allow me to come home.
Why not go for a quick joyride around the place first? I suggested, nodding my head at the void beyond the cloud edge. If you only get one field trip, you should make it worthwhile. She leaned close, and I whispered, go to Las Vegas. Trust me, every High Angelus should visit Sin City at least once.
Don't tell Imriel that, she muttered. He'll have a conniption.
Imriel? Who's that? Does he have a stick up his ash?
He's the choir leader, Feather.
She looked properly horrified, even though she was snort laughing.
The head of the realm.
Choir leader. So what you're saying is, it's a conductor's baton wedged in his rectum? I get it. She laughed so hard she almost dropped me, then hugged me close.
I'm not sure the realm is ready for you, my friend.
Lowering me to my feet, she set my hand against the bar. My fingers trembled with weariness and fear. I was already in so much pain, I didn't think I could handle more.
What will it feel like? Like coming home, Feather.
She crooned, already humming her own name song.
You are home, most beautiful sacrifice. Home at last.
Home. I tried not to sigh at her confident assertion. It wasn't anything I'd felt in all my lives, though my time in Sanctuary had come close, once I'd met Sunny and Mikhail and Righteous. Perception, truth, and hope. Then it began to feel like it might be where I belonged. Maybe, after everyone I loved got here, I would start to believe I really did have a home. Like heaven was the right place for a smutty, beaten-up scrap like me. I began to sing my name, each note like dragging an anchor through mud. At the end of the final note, those extra few hateful words added in, the door gate opened, and I was blinded temporarily. When I blinked, the space I stood in was still empty, but the new clouds were bluish, and the pain in my chest had subsided considerably. Were my mates nearby? I shouted out, Growly? Anaconda Pants? Birch? Anyone? No one answered. And I realized I was between realms somehow. No one else was here. No one but the clouds roiled around me.
Daughter.
The voice from the void filled the skies with sudden music, followed by an unimaginably vast silence. I remembered the message I had for her. Your son,
Revel asked me to tell you he misses you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?